It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
But in Luke and Mark, he says his daughter was 12 years old, and she was a point of death. She was almost dying, and that's the time he left the house and came. So he might be thinking she might be dead now. And that's the way Matthew records. But she was not dead when he came to Jesus Christ. And when he came and he talked to Jesus, my daughter is very sick and come and heal her. And he said, okay, I'm coming. While he was going, here comes the lady. And this lady, Matthew doesn't say, this lady, what she had a problem, only issue of blood. But this lady had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she went to every doctor and she spent everything, did not get better. But the word of God says she became worse. She started thinking. She said, if I go to Jesus Christ and touch just the thread of his garment, I will be healed. And that's the kind of faith she had. Jesus said, somebody touched me. And the disciples start saying, Master, why are you saying this? Everybody touching you. He said, no, some power went out of me. The lady was going quietly because she had a bad disease. That bleeding means if you touch somebody, somebody is going to be unclean. So she didn't want to say anybody. She got healed and she was quietly going. So she came back and told the story. Matthew didn't repeat that story here. So she told the story, and then Jesus said, okay, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and stay free from this disease. And she went away. At that same time, somebody comes from Jairus' house and says, don't bother, Master. Your daughter is already dead. Jairus didn't say a word, but Jesus said, have faith. And Jesus went. And so here, in short, it said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. When you say made you whole, that means no more sickness left and you are completely cured. So he cured her disease. When that lady has the issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. That's the time his daughter was born. So Jesus goes, here doesn't say like anything. Jesus goes, take only Peter, James and John, three disciples. When he comes, all the people were crying and making a lot of noise. He told them to get out of the room, and he kept only mother and father and healed that child. So let's read a little bit further. Verse 23, Matthew 9:23.
And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn.
Now these people are crying and weeping, I don't know how many hours or days, because Jairus walked from there, I don't know how many miles, but they knew this baby is dead. He said, no, she's sleeping. And so he knew he has the power to wake her up. And so these people were mocking him. And so let's read a little bit further. Verse 25.
But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose.
But what happened? Here he comes and told those people to get out of this room. Only mother and father was there, and Peter, John, and James. And then he told the girl, little girl, rise. And the girl came to life. And then he said to the mother and father, give her something to eat. And then he said, please don't tell this story to anybody. And Jesus left. That's what the story is in Mark and Luke. But he kept it in a short. Let's read Matthew 9:26.
And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land.
See, he said, don't tell anybody. But the word of God says the fame went all around. How it happened? No newspaper, no television, no radio, nothing. But all these people came, the relatives, and they were crying. And they saw this 12 years old, completely healed and alive. And they went to different parts of their state or county, and news automatically got spread. Even the Jesus did not say to these people, could you take this daughter town to town and tell everybody that I healed her? He even said, you don't have to do anything, but the news already went. Verse 27, Matthew 9:27.
And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you.
Now here they see the story. He's walking on the street, two blind men coming after him. And what they're saying, they're crying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And he kept on walking. Finally, he comes to somebody's house. And they followed him. And now they come to the house. And then Jesus Christ asking them the question, Do you think that I have power to heal you? They said, Yes. Then he said, Okay, according to your faith, be healed. And instantly, they got healed. So somebody will say, Why Jesus Christ didn't stand out right there and right heal that person right away? There are several blind people he healed. One blind person he healed and he said, What do you see? He said, I see people like a trees. He said, Okay. He laid hand again. What do you see now? He said, I see clearly. Today somebody was saying, you know, sometime this thing happened, you might have to pray twice. I said, that's no problem. We can pray many times. But the point is, how much your faith is, that much you get. So when this man's faith increased and he got healed. So Jesus Christ is saying, some blind people come and say, What do you want me to do for you? Somebody's saying, Don't you know he's blind? But sometimes blind people do not want eyes. You will be surprised. And I knew so many blind people came to me and I asked them, Do you want me to pray for you? They said, No, we want to be blind. And there was one blind man at my neighbor, and I prayed for many blind people, and many blind people got healed. So I said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, Don't pray for me. I said, What's the problem? He said, You know what? I'm blind, but I have several buildings, and my children, they are going to colleges, and I'm rich, and I can help my family. I don't want to be, I don't need eyes. So there are people. So Jesus asked one man, What do you want? He said, I want to be healed, my eyes to be opened. And these people, he said, Do you believe that I have power to heal you? They said, Yes. Then he said, Okay, according to your faith, be thou healed. So don't worry about praying for other people. We get afraid. If I pray for that person, if that person doesn't get healed, no, I don't have to worry. I'm not a healer. Jesus is the healer. I'm going to say to this man, believe in the name of Jesus Christ and be healed. And if you have faith, he will heal you. So the point I'm making, sometime it works if you have that kind of faith, that God can send his word thousands of miles and they can heal. So the faith is important. If you have faith in Christ, there is nothing impossible. There is nothing impossible with God. Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 30.
And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it.
Can you imagine? The blind people came to him. They got healed. Now what Jesus Christ saying? Make sure. Nobody knows that. Jesus Christ didn't say them, Don't say this thing to anybody, otherwise you will be blind again. They will never say anybody anything like that. But Jesus Christ was saying, I don't want the publicity. Sometimes some people got healed and say, Jesus, we want to follow you. He said, No, go back. Go to your home. Tell everybody what God has done for you. And so these blind people, he said, Don't tell anybody, but see what happens. Let's read a little bit further.
But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country.
See, he told them not to tell anybody. But they went, did the advertise so much, whole country start knowing about Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 32.
As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Now here, Jesus Christ did not argue in this chapter. But many times when they said he is casting out devils by the prince or by the prince of the devil or by the Beelzebul, he asked them a question. If I'm doing this way, how your people are doing it? And they had no answer. So here we see one man, he was demon possessed and he was not able to speak. When Jesus Christ healed him, he was able to talk. One time, I was going for a baptism service. And here comes one lady, and she said, Pastor Peter, you have to come to my house. I said, Sister, these people are going for baptism. We are going to river. Let me go and do the baptism, and then I'll come back. What is the problem? She said, I have a Hindu man and his son sitting there for you to pray. See, I'll come back. She said, No. This man came from far, far, far places. And so, you come. So I went there and asked, what's the problem? This man, he was almost 30, 35 years old. Young man with a married man, having children and everything. And I said, what's the problem? They said, something happened and he cannot speak anymore. And he has no interest of life and anything. He just stared at people and don't say anything. So I knew some demon possessed. So I laid hand and cast out the demon. Right away this man started talking and went home peacefully. So the point I'm making, there are demons. Sometimes they make you blind, they make you deaf, and they make you miserable. Other people were like, they have to tie with the chain and things like that. And so all kinds of demon-possessed people are in this world. But Jesus healed those people, and he has given us the same power. Sometimes when I give the testimony, people might be thinking I'm bragging. But I have prayed for the people who were demon-possessed, deaf and dumb and bound with the chain and things like that. So God has given us power. And it happens. And then Jesus Christ simply says in verse 35, he didn't pay attention in this chapter, whatever they said, and he just said he went about all the cities, every villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus prayed to his Father, and every prayer Jesus did, God answered. Show me one prayer Jesus did not answer. He was not saying, I don't want to go to cross. Because it was already proven in the Word of God. He was slain before the foundation of the world. It's already recorded. He cannot deny, he cannot change it. That what he was praying. Because in the Gethsemane when he started praying, he starts bleeding the blood, sweating the blood. And when he sweats the blood and his blood flow is not stopping, he's going to die in a Gethsemane. But he came to die on the cross. Why cross? The Word of God says when somebody dies on the cross, is cursed. And so Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we are free from the curse because Jesus Christ took our curse on the cross. So he wanted to go on the cross. Devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. He wanted to kill when he was baby, but God did not allow him. And the proof is this, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, if you read, he says he prayed with a loud voice, with the tears, and God heard his prayer and he saved him from the death and the fear. It's very clear. The point I'm making, people just think Jesus Christ prayed and God did not hear his last prayer. But here the word of God says, he went to all the cities, every villages, every synagogue, preaching, teaching of the kingdom of God, healing every sickness, every disease among all the people. How much more we want? Jesus Christ did signs and wonders and miracles. He has also approved his ministers who are preaching the gospel with the signs and wonders and miracles follow. And that's what the ministry God has given to us. Okay, let's go further. Verse 36.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Now when he saw the multitudes of people, and when he had compassion, when I was reading, I thought maybe he wants to feed these people also. But he was compassionate that these people are dying without any shepherd, without any teaching, without somebody telling them about heaven. So he says we need more ministers to go to these people, talk to them personally, one by one, and bring them to Christ. So he said, pray that God will give some more laborers. And so when I heard this first time, when I was reading, I said, Lord, call me as your laborers. I'm ready. And this is the same thing he said it when the Samaritan lady kept the pot and went to the city to bringing all people to Jesus Christ. And when they coming like a flood, and here the disciples bought the food, and they said, Master, eat. He says, what is my food? John chapter 4, start reading from verse 33, and then we are going to finish.
But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Now what is happening here? Disciple bought the food to give it to Jesus. He said, what is my food? My food is doing the Lord's will. Because he said, that people are coming here. I want to give them the message. I'm not going to sit and eat. And so all those people were coming, and it looked like a harvest is ready. And so we want to do this work, not that this is not the time to eat. Go ahead.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
Now see what happened here? They came like a flood. They heard about Jesus, and they said, now the lady came and told us, but now we know that you are the servant of God, or you're the Messiah. Come to our town and stay in our town. And he went and stayed with the city for 2 days. So what he was trying to say, if you labor, you will get the harvest. And when God has already prepared the harvest, and so the whoever sowed, those people are going to get the benefits. And when you harvest, you'll get the benefits. That means sometimes the people go and preach the gospel and salvation and do not tell about the water baptism. It's our duty to go and tell them. If they are ready for baptism, you tell them. Some people are born again and baptized. Nobody told them about the Holy Spirit. So it's our duty to go and tell. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. So whatever God has given to us, we have to give it to people, and we will have our reward. Book of Matthew, chapter 10. We are going to start from verse 1.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Jesus Christ called his disciples and out of all other disciples chose 12 people and gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast out the devils and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So this is what Jesus Christ did. But last week, if you remember, when we were closing the chapter 9, what did he say? Please read the last verse, last couple of verses.
Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
And then the word of God says he went to the mountain, he prayed whole night, and the next morning he called the disciples and he ordained them. He gave the power, the word of God says, against unclean spirit. Now I was thinking, when he gave the power, the word of God says he gave the power against the unclean spirit. First thing he says, he gave power against unclean spirit. Why? Because the devil is the one causing all the sickness and disease and all the problems. Jesus Christ said in St. John chapter 10, verse 10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and more abundant life. And so, Jesus Christ gave the power over the unclean spirits, and then he says, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And so there are not one kind of disease and there is not one kind of sickness. So there are some people will say, oh, if you have a headache, that will go away by prayer. But cancer will not go by prayer alone. But the word of God says there is nothing impossible with God if you have faith. Faith is the main thing. When you have faith in God, we read in a book of Mark chapter 11, verses 22, he says, if you have faith in God, then you can move the mountains. Some people say, oh, he just said move the mountain, but mountain cannot move. But I'm a living witness. I moved the mountain by prayer. I was just thinking, if it is written in the word of God, let's try. It's nothing harm. I stood in front of mountain. I said, mountain, in the name of Jesus, be thou removed. And the next year when I came, there was no mountain. There was a plain ground. Not only plain ground, there was a pond of water. And so I asked people, what happened? They said, the city came, dig all these stones and make this gravel and cement and everything. And they dig so much. Now we have pond. The point I'm making, when word of God says so, we have to believe it. All the sickness, all the disease can be healed in the name of Jesus. So this power was given to them temporarily. If you remember, John comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, there was a man casting out devil and healing people, but he is not with us. He is not in our group. But Jesus says, whoever is not against us, he is with us. So don't bother him. Let him do it. But he used the name of Jesus. So the point I'm making here, if these disciples did signs and wonders and miracles before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, before the day of Pentecost, so how much more we can do? That's what the point I'm bringing. And Jesus Christ already said, St. John chapter 14, verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go to my Father. I won't be here physically. But now you're going to receive the power. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. So you will be doing the greater work than me. Jesus was not jealous. He wanted his disciples to do more. And so many people don't believe this scripture. But I do. I believe if Jesus said it, I believe it and it will work. Here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ called his disciples because earlier he said, we need more workers. So he took action. We just finished the book of Luke chapter 10. And in that chapter, he ordained 70 more disciples. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 10, starting from verse 2.
Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not.
All these 12 disciples' names are given. They were chosen. They were called apostles. But if you go to the history, most of the people gave their life for Jesus Christ. But here when you read this, some people might be thinking, why Jesus said to these people, he says, don't go country up any Gentiles, don't go even the Samaria. Some people might be thinking, why this kind of commandment was given? Jesus Christ said God sent him first as a prophet to Israel. And he came and preached the gospel so the Israeli people will not have any excuse. And he came as a prophet according to the book of Deuteronomy. Now somebody again will say, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, don't go to any city of Samaritan, and read the verse following, verse 6.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Jesus said to these people, don't go to any other Gentiles' places, don't go to Samaria, just go to the children of Israel. They are the lost sheep of Israel. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. And then he says, cast the devils, freely you have given, freely give. When these people were going, they did not argue with Jesus. Why did you go to Samaria? You remember he went to Samaria in St. John chapter 4. And then Samaritan lady came. This was just like an accident. He was not planning to go there. So when she started talking to him and he told her the salvation plan, and then she keeps the part there and she runs to the Samaritan village or city and brings all the villagers, and then they ask Jesus, please come to our town. So Jesus Christ went. But now to his disciples, he said, you go. And while he's sending in such a way that they are like a helpless. Read verse 9. Matthew chapter 10, verse 9.
Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence.
Here he's sending the disciples. He sent two by two, and they're going, and he says, now, don't take a money purse, don't take two coats, don't take even the stick, don't take silver, gold, or brass, or any money, and you just go by faith.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.